Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This morning, we consider the Word of God as it is spoken to us through our Gospel reading from Matthew chapter 1. And we consider the name that God gave to His Son, Jesus, as He came into this world and what that name still means for us today. You may be seated. It's taken me a while to realize that there are many of you sitting out there that have picked up nicknames throughout your lives. It's not surprising. Lots of people end up with nicknames, but when you talk about each other in front of me using those nicknames, it can be just a little bit confusing to me, right? Because some of them might not be ones that are necessarily ones that you would use within our walls here. And well, that's okay, right? We give each other nicknames, identifiers in some way, right? I shouldn't be surprised, because if you heard me calling my children in my own home, you probably wouldn't recognize some of the names that I've given them either. They're not bad, of course, but some of them aren't even remotely connected to their actual names. They're names that identify something about our relationship or something about a shared experience that we've had together. It used to be, though, that names were true identifiers, weren't they? If your last name was Smith, it's likely that you were a blacksmith. Mason, you probably laid bricks. Fisher, you were likely good with a rod and a reel, or maybe a net. There are some that aren't quite as common, though. Did you know that Luther identified a person who served in the army? And a Woodward was someone who looked after or guarded a wooded place. Woodward. Not a bad job, I would think. I'd like to do that. And then these names, they were passed on to descendants, which was especially helpful when the next generation continued on in the family business. Whether it's a surname that's identifying your profession or a playful nickname, names all have special meanings. But nicknames, they're specific to an individual, while identifying surnames passed down through generations. A nickname, it ends with that person that it was given to, while a surname continues to identify a family, perhaps for hundreds or even more years. Yet most people with the last name of Smith are no longer practicing blacksmiths, are they? I'm not sure how far you'd have to go back from Martin Luther to find someone in his family who was associated with the army. And most fishers aren't making their livelihood reeling in fish these days. So unlike nicknames, most of these surnames have lost their meanings because they no longer actually identify the vocation of the person who bears that name. But today, I invite you to consider one whose name has never lost its meaning, and whose name is as relevant and meaningful today as it was the day that it was given to him. Because Jesus, God's own Son, came to save his people from their sins. And that's what his name means. Our gospel today actually mentions two names of the God-man who came to save his people. It references that prophecy from Isaiah that we read in the Old Testament reading Isaiah, who said, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. But also in our gospel reading, we're told that Joseph did as the angel of the Lord commanded him to, and he called his name Jesus. So we're given those two names, Emmanuel and Jesus. And that name, Jesus, had special significance because it points to what he will do. It's the English translation of the Greek name Jesus, which is a translation of the Hebrew name Joshua. I had someone approach me not that long ago and asked if I thought it was strange that people still today named their sons Jesus. Really, Jesus, because outside of the Spanish-speaking world, most parents won't name their sons Jesus. But my reply was that I did think that it was a little bit strange, but if you're going to get worked up about that, about naming a child Jesus, we should also certainly get worked up about everyone whose name is Joshua, right? Because it's exactly the same name. I don't think there's any Joshuas in here today, none that I see from here. But if you're going to get worked up about it, get worked up about the Joshuas as well. And what that name is, Jesus, Jesus, Joshua, however you want to say it, it's a combination of the Hebrew words for salvation and for Yahweh, the very name of God. Therefore, Jesus means the Lord is salvation, or sometimes we'll say the Lord saves. Either way, that baby boy who came into the world through miraculous means 2,000 years ago is perfectly named. It's why the angel told Joseph that Mary's child was to be given that name, because he will save his people from their sins. So God's Son is given his name based on what he came to do. It's a vocational name. It's a missional name. And it shows that his purpose is to be the Savior. And that's exactly how Jesus lived his life. It's the only way that he could, without sin. He came to save his people Israel. And they certainly needed saving. Of course, the Israelites were God's elect people. They were his covenant children, but again and again they rebelled against God, breaking that covenant over and over again. And they were punished for that disobedience. None of those who were saved from slavery in Egypt would make it to the promised land. And then subsequent generations continued to sin, and they were sent into exile. Israel's condition at the time of Jesus' birth reflected the brokenness of the relationship that his people had with God. David's throne hadn't yet been reestablished, and the one who was claiming to be the son of David is a carpenter from Nazareth. Israel is still under the control of foreign kings, and their major problem was their sin of not keeping their covenant with God. That sin needed to be removed. This relationship that the people had broken between themselves and God needed to be restored. And what does Jesus do? He healed diseases. He cleansed lepers. He cast out demons. He raised the dead. He gave sight to the blind. Just as we heard him remind those messengers from John the Baptist, all the things that were prophesied so long ago that the Messiah would do. He forgave sins, and he called sinners to repentance, and he called them to new life. And for all of this, many in Israel rejected him, even at times because he was doing these things. And ultimately, he was killed by those who rejected him. And yet in his death, he provided for all of those, even those who rejected him, he provided them a ransom, a payment for sin, for all of them, for all of us. And so Jesus lived up to his name, the Lord saves. And Jesus' mission was to Israel first. Later on in Matthew, we hear him tell his disciples, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then again, he says of himself, I was sent only to the sheep of the house of Israel. So our natural question sitting here in 2025 is this: how do we find our place in this story? Because we were not those covenant people. Our ancestors were outsiders who knew nothing of the promises that God had made to his people. They were idolaters. They were outside of the fold. And yet God lovingly shepherded them in, just as he does for us. Although we're not guilty of those particular sins, the same as those who rejected Jesus at his first coming, we still inherit the sins of Adam. And we still regularly rebel against God's will. And so our condition is no different than theirs. And before our baptisms, we were definitely outsiders. So Jesus' mission can't ignore the Gentiles. Even though his first and primary mission was to come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, he does not, he cannot, he will not ignore those who are outside of that fold. If Jesus came to save the world, which he did, that includes everyone. In his incarnation, God has revealed his Son to all. Think about those magi that we hear about in the Gospel of Matthew. The ones that came and worshiped the newborn king, who brought gifts to him. They were outsiders from far off lands, and they were brought by God to worship Jesus when he was just a child. Think about that centurion who showed his faith, and then Jesus had compassion on him because he showed him a faith, the centurion did to Jesus, a faith that was not present in so many people, even those there in Israel. Think about that thief on the cross who knew where to put his trust after only just meeting Jesus for a very short time. There are too many more examples even to count, not just from the scriptures, but from our own lives as well. Think of each person that you have seen come to faith. How miraculous each and every one of those accounts is. And it's all because before Jesus ascended into heaven, he sent his apostles out and he said to them, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And then after he gives them that command, he gives them this promise. He says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. Thanks be to God that those disciples heeded that command. Thanks be to God that they believed that promise, because they went out and they spread the word so that we might now find ourselves as part of this story. But that's not the only way that we participate in God's plan. We're not only recipients of the benefits of that evangelical work of those who came before us, but we're also given that very same command that Jesus gave to the disciples. We are those who are baptized and taught, but we are also those who are called to baptize and to teach. And we do it because of what God in Christ Jesus has first done for us. God in His Word has revealed salvation to us. And He's done it through Jesus, His Son and our Savior. Just what His name suggests that He would do. The name of Jesus indicates what He has done. He saves His people from sin, and He gives us new life. But unlike all of those names that no longer identify the work of their holder, Jesus' name continues to point to Him as our Savior, because He continues to carry out that saving work through His gospel. And because this is the most blessed work for us, then, Jesus remains the most blessed name. The name above all names, as you'll hear the choir sing about in just a moment. And as the people He has delivered and has made His own, we can confess along with the Apostle Peter, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.